Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, dear. All right, devotees. All right, so, yes, devotees. Word for word, first of all. Mat ashraya, about me. Kata, stories. Mrishta, delightful. Shrinvanti, they hear. Katayanti, they chant. Cha, and. Tapanti, inflict suffering. Vividha, various. Tapa, the material miseries. Na, do not. Etan, unto them. Matgata, fixed on me. Chetasa, their thoughts. Translation. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. No, it's this thing here. Oh, to turn the sound down. Anyway, it doesn't really matter that much. All right. Translation. Or purport. By Srila Prabhupada. There are multifarious miseries in material existence. Those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness, and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gananu Varnane, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.18, he engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. All right, so the verse again. Madhashraya katam rishta shrinvanti katayanti cha Tapanti vividas tapa, naitan madgata chetasa. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality, of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, yes, devotees, today is the anniversary of the day Srila Prabhupada arrived, am I right? Arrived in America, 1965. So that is 55 years ago today. 55 years. I was 14. I was at school. So, it's just a very auspicious occasion and just something worthy of noting and commemorating and remembering and celebrating, actually. So as part of the program, you could say, we are reading this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is one of a number of verses, a couple of verses actually, following on from a very famous, quite famous verse about the qualities, the symptoms of a sadhu, a saintly person. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he's tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He's peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. Even what would normally be considered negative characteristics like getting angry. It's sublime. Because it's absolutely applied only in Krishna consciousness for the well-being of whoever's involved. And of course we remember the pastime with Shivananda Sen and Lord Nityananda. When they were walking from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri to join Lord Chaitanya for the Ratha Yatra 1 year, and Shivananda Sen was the manager of the sort of expedition, because it was not a small group. There were hundreds of devotees. And every night, he had to organize everything, basically, for everyone, including Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, he, of course, had very special transcendental nature that he was, what to say, you could say he was very sensitive to all sorts of things, actually, but including how he was treated. And one evening, when Shivananda Sen somehow became otherwise preoccupied with other duties for the party, and he did not, somehow he was not able to organize the facilities for Lord Nityananda in good time, Lord Nityananda, he really became, apparently, extremely disturbed. And he kicked Shivananda Sen in the chest and cursed his son to die. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, this is really quite a display of anger, but it's transcendental anger. I hope none of you have kicked anyone, at least since you became devotees, or any time. That's extreme. And Shivananda Sen's wife, whose name I don't know. Anyway, his wife. She witnessed this, and she became very disturbed, distraught even, and expressed that to Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen told her, he actually said, if I remember correctly, don't anyone take this seriously, you crazy woman. Anyway, someone can confirm that, but it's something like that. It was really, he really told her that, yes, let all our sons die if we have offended Lord Nityananda. Let them all die, because they had more than one. Just let them all die for this offense. Oh, but he kicked me in the chest. What a blessing. What a blessing. So he had an extremely positive perspective on the whole incident, which according to material estimations was of a really negative nature. But that's the nature of a sadhu, that all their characteristics are sublime. Even apparently negative characteristics are not negative. They're not negative. They are positive and beneficial and just mercy, actually. So this verse here, there was 21. Then there was 22, which was saying something also. How the sadhu engages just completely, wholeheartedly in devotional service, absolutely, and is able and is happy to renounce all any other type of connection, be it family, nation, or whatever type of connection, totally without practically a thought, because of his extremely deep absorption in Krishna consciousness. And this one here, this seems to be the last of three. Oh no. Well, the next one also is very nice. Oh yeah, actually it continues on directly and indirectly. It's really, really wonderful actually. But here, a very important characteristic of a sadhu is being described. That the sadhu, as we just saw from the last verse, being fully engaged in devotional service without the slightest hint of a deviation, without even the shadow of a deviation, just totally. Then the sadhu, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Just let me. Yes, being engaged like that, the sadhu being fully engaged in general in devotional service, and specifically in so many different devotional activities, but particularly, perhaps, certainly one of the main, if not the main, is being engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about the Lord. So as a result of that, the sadhus become unaffected by the miseries of material existence, which usually are just complete, they're completely dominating the lives of the materialistic people, just dominating their lives. even, you know, Srila Prabhupada and devotees have made the point, how's this, that each one of us has a little finger on both hands. Perhaps sometime you have hurt your little finger. I have, not now, but previously, slammed a finger in a door, something of that sort, and the finger becomes, whoa, such a source of pain for a couple of days. It's really quite serious. But then on the other hand, how much pleasure can you get from your little finger? Do you know of any pleasurable activity that you can specifically engage your little finger in? Not the other ones, just the little one. Or even Prabhupada mentioned, I think, anyway, definitely it has been mentioned, your back. Of course, if you have a massage, that may be pleasant for your back. But other than that, I don't know really offhand of any particular activity which is very pleasurable for the back. But if you slip a disc, if you herniate a disc in your back, which I have done, and I can give a detailed report on, the pain, which never lets up for days and weeks, it never lets up 24 hours a day. So this body, as we say when we chant the prasadam prayer, sarira avijajal, etc., then we're saying sharira, this body, sharira, avidya, ignorance, is jal, is just a place of ignorance. This body has not been designed for maximizing the enjoyment. It's got some of the, you know, enjoyable sort of abilities built in, but actually it has really been designed more for suffering. It's really been designed more for suffering. And as a result, that's our experience. That's the experience of people in general in material life. And therefore there are sayings, like one saying, be thankful for small mercies. Is it? Something like that. Be grateful for small mercies. Because, you know, life is tough generally. If you can get a little something nice, whew, then appreciate it, because you don't get that very often. So anyway, but this is the nature of material existence. But the devotees, of course, there are devotees and there are devotees. But the fact is that the very advanced devotees, really, it's oftentimes, at least relative to the degree the level of advancement, but particularly, definitely, the very advanced devotees, they're always, as the Lord says, filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities, always, always chanting Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, and all these different things. And as a result, they're not suffering from the material miseries. Ultimately, at least ultimately, of course, like we said, it depends, particularly on the level of the devotee. But particularly the very advanced devotees, there may be some source of suffering right upon them, but because they're always absorbed like that, they don't feel it. A very sort of vivid example is given by Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur at the end, in the last parts of Madhurya Kadamani, in which he says, a devotee on the level of Krishna Prema is so far beyond being influenced by bodily experience that even when his body or her body dies, that very, very advanced devotee on the level of Krishna Prema is not even aware. From what we read, and of course we will find out sooner or later, some of us sooner than others, death is a painful experience. We've all been sick, we've all damaged different parts of our bodies at different times. We've all had experiences of bodily pains. But from what we understand, the experience of death is generally, it's in a category of its own. It's a much stronger, more powerful experience of pain and suffering. But Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, describing the experience of the devotee on Krishna Prema, says that the devotee is so absorbed in ecstasy, remembering, chanting, thinking about serving as much as he or she may be able physically, absorbed like that in the Lord, that he says that when the time of death comes, that devotee may not even notice it. That devotee, of course, is situated. They're situated in their spiritual body. Yes, the spiritual body is already manifested within. And they're engaged with that and sort of neglectful about the material body. So the experience of ecstasy in Krishna consciousness is so great that they don't even notice that the body, gross body, has died. And therefore he says, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, that therefore that devotee, after some time, well, it may not be a long time, but after some time, realizes, oh, look, my gross body has gone. It must have died. Oh, okay. Because they're actually living in their spiritual body. That's very advanced level. Otherwise, as we understand generally, Brahmins, we after all are being trained or encouraged at least, and trained, to become Brahmins and engage in Brahminical activity. But Brahmins, generally, one of the many characteristics of a Brahmin is that a Brahmin is very sensitive. Very sensitive. You remember the story, who was it of? in Mahabharata, who's the one who was being bitten by the insect? Was it Karna? It was Karna, yeah. Karna wanted to be trained. Yeah. By Parashuram, who wouldn't deal with Kshatriyas due to bad experience. So Karna presented himself as a Brahmin, right? Yeah. And one time Parashuram was resting and Karna was massaging, was he, or was doing some service during that resting time. And some creature, little creature, came and started biting, savagely biting. And blood came and the creature sort of penetrated a little into his body. And when Parashuram came back to external consciousness, he saw this and asked what happened. And Karna said, oh, it's okay, you know. My service was more important, so I just ignored it. And Parashuram said, ah, that means that you are not a Brahmin. Because if you were, you would not have been able to tolerate. You're a Kshatriya. So go, get out. And he kicked him out, right? Yeah. Yeah, so Brahmins, of course, this is in terms of Vanashram Dharma. But in general, Vanashram Dharma type Brahmins are very sensitive to all sorts of things, anything, really. But the nature of Krishna consciousness is that even though a devotee certainly generally becomes more sensitive and more conscious, of everything, of himself or herself, of other people, of what is this world, what is life in this world, who is Krishna, what is my relationship, that I have a relationship, that, you know, this material world is really the wrong place for me. So one characteristic then of a devotee which develops is tolerance. Even right in the beginning in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Lord Krishna, when he just initially begins his instructions to Arjuna, he tells him that you must tolerate the different conditions of material life. Winter and summer seasons and these types of things, these dualities, and for ordinary people, what are problems within material life? You must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. And of course, in the verse before, in verse 13, Lord Krishna makes the point that dearest tatra namuyati, that as a sober person, or as anybody during the course of their life tolerates the changes of body that they go through with no disturbance whatsoever, so in a similar way, dearest tatra namuyati, a sober person is able to tolerate the time of death, which otherwise is extremely difficult to tolerate. And in previous versions of Bhagavad Gita, or the original perhaps, BBT Bhagavad Gita, it said the self-realized soul can tolerate these things, which of course is true. But then when they went back through the recordings of Srila Prabhupada translating, they found Srila Prabhupada did not say the self-realized soul. Although, obviously, the self-realized soul is included. But he just said, the sober person means not necessarily a person on some high level, on some level of personal development with some qualities, including tolerance, but not necessarily a self-realized or even particularly advanced devotee. Just a sober person is able to tolerate the time of death without being disturbed. So this is what has been the point which is being made here. And the essence of the point is that, as Srila Prabhupada says, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. There is a relationship, and this is the essence of the whole point, that there is a relationship between engagement in the topics of the Lord and becoming forgetful or just not being aware of the miseries of material existence. This is a very important point, that this tolerance which Lord Krishna is talking about there in that verse we mentioned in the second chapter, two verses, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that tolerance is not just part of that kshatriya tolerance of Karna, just some physical tolerance, the ability to neglect, to be neglectful of the condition of the body just in material terms. In other words, just to become very strong and determined in terms of overlooking the difficulties, the miseries of material life. But due to the experience of being absorbed in the topics of the Lord means chanting his names, chanting about his pastimes, chanting about his qualities, chanting about his philosophy, which means the thoughts within his heart. Becoming absorbed in that, it is of such a nature, and it has such an effect that the presence of those material miseries, one loses one's awareness of them. They become gradually less and less noticeable and more unnoticeable. You know, sometimes it happens in material life. You've probably had the experience that maybe you kick your foot or you do something which definitely causes pain, but in the first few seconds after the impact, there's no feeling of pain. Have you ever had that experience? There's no feeling of pain. But then it comes. Anyway, that's another thing, really. So, yes, the topics of the Lord, including chanting his holy names, are so powerful. They have such amazing effects on one's whole state of being that the more one becomes advanced and attached to and appreciative of and absorbed in these topics of the Lord, they have the natural effect of, it's almost like a sort of anesthetic effect It's something like that is involved, at least. It's involved. It's amazing. Really amazing. So therefore the sadhu, as devotees advance, particularly the advanced devotees, but as devotees advance, and they gradually get more and more realization of what is Krishna consciousness, then they become more and more inclined to hear and chant about the Lord, and less inclined to be interested in material life, in whatever aspect of material life. This is the natural result. Less and less interested in materialistic relationships, which otherwise people feel very dependent upon, but more and more independent of material relationships. Less and less dependent on different types of material pleasurable experiences, more and more independent from them, and rather more and more of a taste and a real attraction for hearing and chanting about the Lord and serving the Lord and ultimately Krishna consciousness in general, but begins with hearing and chanting about the Lord. So this is something we must cultivate. We must really cultivate, because old habits die hard, and it's very easy to again become interested, or from time to time become interested in some part of material existence. It's not difficult at all. So cultivation is needed. Ongoing cultivation. And gradually, as Krishna sees the ongoing cultivation, gradually Krishna gives mercy and gives more and more of a taste. In this way, the devotee progresses and gradually, step by step, comes to this point mentioned here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ke Jai. Yeah.